And it goes like this.
I hope so. Awesome.
So I just started recording all of them through the next section.
We want to get going. So, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful, awesome, amazing day that you have made. And we thank you, God, that it's not a coincidence any of us are here, that you've always got your heartbeat. We're walking with you, God. We just want to, you know, ask you to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts. We only want to say what you're saying. We only want to do what you're doing, God. So even in this time and place, we invite you. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the spirit of the truth. We thank you. You are the spirit of truth, and you are our teacher, our counselor. You are absolutely everything. So without you, God, there is no reason for anything. So come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I don't know how many people were here for the last one. Okay. I'm going to briefly just go over some. I've got a scripture for you. And Jesus healed the lunatic. That would be me. No, seriously. 5 years ago this month, I was in a mental institution trying to figure out how not to kill myself. I had bipolar, bulimia, addiction, suicide. My spirit-filled aunt was in a mental institution, and she died there 3 years ago. My people perished for lack of knowledge. It is kind of funny, and Jesus healed the lunatic, but it's not being the lunatic. It's called demonic oppression. I don't care if it's oppression, depression. That's an argument for somebody that's educated more than I am. I don't care. All I know, it was painful, and it was hell. And really, You know, if it was appendicitis, we wouldn't be arguing with the doctor where it was. Our opinions don't matter. If it's not clear, it's not clear. Who cares? Just get the pain out. So, that being said, I'm not a theologian. However, I graduated from a Bible college a millennium ago. That wasn't funny, but anyway. I graduated as a defeated Christian. Bipolar. And I was from a church that we didn't get out much. Pentecostal, we could speak in tongues. Maybe pray for healing, but, you know, if there were no other options. And I'm not bashing. You know, my church did what they knew. There's more. In fact, there's a book called There's More. It's in the bookstore upstairs. But that's I'll get there. So seriously, I graduated from a Bible college. I wanted to serve the Lord. Had all kinds of hell on me. Been involved in drugs, drug cartels, FBI, hitmen. That was the last thing. And then I ended up 5 years ago, like I said, I was in a mental institution trying to figure out how not to kill myself. It was supposedly the best institution in the nation. I had been in the church. I figured Jesus was powerless because I was told that Americans couldn't have demons and there was obviously something wrong with me. But there is no such thing as a defeated Christian. That is an oxymoron. My people perish for lack of knowledge. David said this, which has become really key to me. I want to know your ways. So I knew Jesus, but I did not know his ways. And I knew the world's ways. I knew the culture. I knew my family. I knew the church. I knew the educational system. But I did not know God's ways. And it's no different than taking my cell phone and, you know, putting it in a Jell-O. I don't know where that came from. You know what I mean? I can't get upset with Apple when it doesn't work because Creator does not recommend putting it in water. It was never created to work with that, nor was it created to work with negativity, jealousy, unforgiveness, bitterroot judgments, anger, rage, addiction, or any of those other demonic ways. I knew those ways. Even in the church. Because, you know, just because a mouse is in a cookie jar doesn't make him a cookie. And I was in a cookie. I was in the church. But that did not make me a friend of God. You know, it made me feel like I expected some things. I wanted him to meet the needs that I had. But I didn't really want to know him. So, anyway. I ended up leaving the church as a defeated Christian, and I moved into, I moved a lot of places. One of the places I moved to get away from hell, and hell followed me, one of those places was India and Bangkok, and I developed some other ways over there. Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, alcoholism was already established, eating disorders were already established. And I, like I said, I left the church because I thought it was powerless. So I was, I went into the best mental institution in the nation after 3 weeks and a lot of money that wasn't insured. They said maybe they needed to keep me a little more secure. My biggest fear was not being able to kill myself because I was in so much torment. And there's a difference between torment and pain. So actually I came home and I was trying to be normal and I went to brunch and I was trying to look good even if I couldn't keep the gun away from my head while I'm sitting there trying to wrestle with the decision or to wrestle with the spirit of suicide. But I had to go to brunch. So, you know, that's important because we want people to think I'm okay, like they didn't know. So on the way home, I saw it was spring. I saw a squirrel cross the road, and I hate to tell the story. The guy in front of me stopped because he didn't want to hit the squirrel. And the squirrel put his little paws underneath the front tire. The guy thought the squirrel was gone. The guy went ahead. The squirrel's front paws got run over, and it starts jumping in the road. I start going into a full rage. God, you knew I'd see that. God, you know I love animals. God, you know I can't stand people because they all were afraid of me. And God, you knew that was the nail in my coffin. I have nothing to live for. There are no coincidences. You knew that was happening. Then I ended up going to call my cousin Chris, who also had mental illness, and he's dead now, so is his 18-year-old son, because hell has no prejudice. Doesn't care what race, social, economic background, education, it doesn't matter. It wants to destroy the children of God, if you know them or not, but preferably if you do know. No, it doesn't put more... Anyway, he doesn't want you to be the answer that God created us to be. That's the truth. So it's all about identity. It's all about who we are. So when I called my cousin Chris, I said, would you go with me to an AA meeting or something, or I'm going to kill myself? And he goes, no, but there's a healer at church. And I'm like, Jesus, I've already been there. And I didn't get what I needed even after Bible college. So I thought we knew everything in our one little pond or stream or whatever it was, but we don't. It's called the River of God. So there's a reason, right? And so I ended up going to church. The guy got words of knowledge. I'd never heard of words of knowledge. He said, I see depression from childhood and addiction. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but I ended up scaring the church people there, because they weren't used to people like me manifesting at the altar. And so I ended up, somebody gave me a card to healing room, and they came in. This woman comes through the door, and she goes, Jesus told me you were coming. I've got a song he wants me to play for you. It'll be in the sanctuary. We don't let people, we only let our prayer team to pray for the prayer people in the sanctuary, but Jesus wants you in there. And they took me in there and played a song by Dennis Jernigan called Sit With You A While. I'm broken though, I'm dying. And the walls came down, the presence of the living God came on me. I got a vision of a new brain, and I was in, and I knew enough scripture to be dangerous. And I'm like, God, you had compassion on the multitude and you healed them all. You are not a respecter of persons. You are not a man that you should lie. I want my healing. Let's go. Let's go. I'll give you one more chance. Wasn't that nice of me? God's like, oh, thank you. So anyway, I did. I went big. I'm like, I will give you till noon, God. You know, that's why I'm not God. I'd be like, you know, just another grease spot, right? So I've been healed a lot. There's more. So actually, I was told about an encounter, and in the encounter, it was a retreat weekend, and they wouldn't let me have my cell phone. They obviously didn't know how important I am. They didn't let me do anything but sit there and get fed. And the Holy Spirit met me where I was. He taught me about generational curses. And I'm like, we don't believe in curses. What's that? Because my aunt's got this. My niece's got this. She had a psychic break when she was 8 years old and start seeing things and trying to kill herself. I met a woman whose first suicide attempt, she was 5 years old. What's a generational curse? How come we didn't teach this in our church? What do you mean? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Isn't that interesting? So what, you mean all I've needed for 52 years is 5-minute prayer? And they're like, maybe. So would you like some prayer? I'm like, yeah, I think so. So they prayed for me. I was going to post-encounter classes for a few weeks after that and got stuck at the church where the post-encounter classes were. And night. So I ended up going to church there that Sunday morning, and this guy gets they're having an altar call for drug addicts, and this guy keeps pointing like that, and I keep going, what are you doing? And it was me, and God wants to set you free from drugs. And I kept saying, I don't do drugs anymore. He got a wrong number, and he goes, no, he wants to set you free from drugs. And I'm like, no, sorry. He goes, no, he wants to set you free from prescription drugs. Oh, you mean the $800 worth of psychotropic drugs I take every month? You mean I'm healed of bipolar? And then they're like, oh, they don't know about that. You know, there's a guy named Sid Roth, Supernatural. And there was a guy on there, John Waller. He wrote the music for Fireproof. I'm like, I don't know that. He goes, he got healed of bipolar. I'm like, he did. So I went home and archived Sid Roth. And he didn't like Sid Roth. So, but I like him now. I love him. Love the man. So I'd adopt him if I could, right, Eric? So anyway, John Waller got set free. And I'm like, really? Well, God, if you'll set him free, I'm free. Okay. So I just got that word. Maybe I am free. So I started weaning myself off of psychotropic drugs. And I have an appointment like a month later with my psychiatrist, the new one, in Springfield. And I go in his office and he comes and he's like, so Lynn. Oh, number one, I was early and I go to Panera first. I'm sitting there with my iPad not knowing Isaiah, by his stripes I'm healed, not knowing where that scripture is. I'd forgotten after 30 years of drugs and alcohol. I sit down with my iPad and I'm like, God, am I really healed or not? And I open my Bible app and I'm on that scripture. I'm like, wow. So the psychiatrist comes in, he goes, so how are you, Lynn? I said, I'm fine. Tell me how you're doing. I said, Jesus healed me. He goes, oh, okay. I said, I don't need your help anymore. He goes, okay. We'll see you next month. And I'm like, I don't think so. And he just left thinking I was delusional. You know, because he didn't know the power of the living God either. And so, yay, Jesus. Yeah. I paid the bill. I haven't seen him since. That was 4.5 years ago. So, hallelujah. And I don't live in depression. That's not my inheritance. I live in freedom. But meanwhile, after that encounter, I find a woman that my mom knew when we were in the church decades ago, because we were all spirit-filled decades ago, but we were defeated Christians. So my family had all left the church. Because they were all defeated. And so, and spirit of offense is good at that. It is the bait of Satan, like John Bevere talks about. It is the bait. Jesus didn't die to give me rights. Or no, I'm commanded to love, and anything else is just not an option. And I can go there, and in 0 to 60, bipolar can come back. Those are my options, really, today. So anyway, I'm all fired up about my freedom, my newfound freedom. And so they're having another encounter at another city, and I'm like bringing some friends. I'm bringing a girl that had been in a mental institution most of her life. I'm bringing a girl whose mother was a preacher but an alcoholic, and so was she, and a drug addict and destroyed by life because hell didn't play fair. And I go over there. And I'm getting ready to pick them up, but I have to stop by my sister's office first. And as I'm heading north in Decatur, there's 4 lanes traffic going north. There was a train on the track, and all of these cars were stopped. And I'm like, crud, you know, this train's been on there for 3 hours in my head. And then, so finally the train's gone, everybody inches forward, and I'm like second from the front, but the light's red now. So finally I see some guy coming out of his house on the right hand side of the road with a little dog. I've got 2 little dogs. And he puts this little dog down, and the light turns green, and people start running their engines because they're out of there. They've been sitting behind a train. And I see this dog coming to the street, and I see the car in front of me, and I see his little profile, and that back tire go thump over that dog. And I'm like, what? And I'm losing my mind, because I love animals, and I'd seen that squirrel. And now I'm mad, You know, and I'm not all that cleaned up yet, right? So I'm screaming, Jesus! I slam my car in park, I jump out, and this guy that ran over the dog, it was probably an 8-pound dog, the dog's laying there crying, and it's not moving, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm picking up that dog! I don't care if it bites me, and this guy's going, my brother's dog. I said, oh, you're an idiot. You know? And I'm like, oh, shut up, I'm an idiot. You know? And I reach over to pick up the dog, and the dog starts growling, and I just keep praying in tongues, and I pick up the dog. He goes, give me my dog. I said, no. I'm taking it to the vet. And all of a sudden, the dog just starts wagging its tail and panting. And the guy goes, give me my dog. I'm like, okay. So I give him the dog, dog gets down, runs in the house, and I'm going, what just happened? So I'm going around with my brain blown up inside my head, going, whoa, I'm not sure what happened. And I go to the encounter, and at this encounter they require, you know, you get downtime with God after teaching on forgiveness or whatever, and I'm laying there, and all I can see is this little puppy, and its profile going under the car, and then the back tire, and I'm just going, I'm like, God, what is going on? And he reminds me of that squirrel, and he goes, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give life, and life more abundantly. I'm like, that's God I'm going to serve. You know, this is it. I'm in. And I go to this encounter. It's just amazing. Every door that opened for me to get healing, I ran through because I was chasing God now. The tables were turned. You want me? We're on. I'm on. We're in it. So people, do you want to go on the encounter? Yes. Do you want to go to this church over here because there's a singer? Yes. Do you want to go over here? I heard there's a teaching. Yes. There's a Bible study here. Do you want to go? Yes. Even if people wouldn't talk to me, because when I got in the church, not a lot of people were talking. I was not behaving like happy people yet. In fact, I was in the grocery store one day after getting a lot of freedom, and I went to the deli, and there was a clear container. I got 3 bean salad, and I, you know, it's clear. And I'm at the little self-checkout, and some guy about that tall with gray hair and these awesome blue eyes, he goes, excuse me, what kind of salad is that? And I'm looking at him like, 3 bean. Idiot. Seriously. Joyce Meyer says, you know, somebody may be pregnant but not be showing yet. I had an encounter with God, but it wasn't showing yet. You know what I mean? So the conviction, I felt like I'd been sucker punched after I did that. And I'm like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? God, I'm sorry. God, if you give me another chance, please, I'm sorry. I don't want to treat people that way. That's not who I am. So the next time I go to Kroger, there's an open heaven over Kroger. There's a woman in a lab coat, which implies to me that maybe she has a job. And she's standing at the back of my car. Now, my car is not brand new, but it's not, you know, from the 20s. And she goes, excuse me. And I said, yes. She goes, can you drive that car on the highway? I'm on to you. That was too easy. Yeah. Yes, well, of course I can. Yes, of course I can. Thank you. Any other questions that I can answer for you? Because I'm going to learn to behave, right? Even if I don't see it demonstrated in maybe the groups of people I'm hanging around in, God is willing to clean me up. Yeah. Because I'm chasing after him, and he's my teacher. And nobody told me, or nobody insisted to me when I got in the church that I maybe quit seeing the hypnotist. But God landed on me. And as I'm, she's even the hypnotist is even praying over me. And I'm thinking, something's not feeling right about this anymore. Maybe I'm missing stuff here that could not be helpful. And, you know, I go to a yoga class, you know, because they're telling me the encounter, some of the stuff isn't all from God. And I'm like, oh, come on. It's a yoga class. She goes, okay. It's all right with me. Okay. So I'm in there, and I'm getting ready to go into one of these poses, and I'm in my class, right? And I feel the power and conviction of God, and I can't make that pose. I can't even make it for you right here to demonstrate it. And I find out more about this stuff and where it came from, what's behind it. And nobody's having to teach me this stuff. I hear it around, but, you know, it's in the church. And I just suggest Googling it. I've got an app for that. Holy Spirit just got all over me, and all of a sudden I'm feeling dirty. You know, I'm thinking, ooh, this is not right. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm looking the way I got out of hell, the way I got out of bipolar. I didn't have a lot of friends, because people that act like I did don't have friends, very good friends. And they certainly don't want to hang out with you once you give up your drugs and alcohol in other ways. So, actually, I learned who played that song. And I'm like, well, I know I can't watch another CSI or Law & Order marathon, because I think those things are broadcasting hell onto me. You know, I'm thinking I can't, before I get in the church, I'm knowing I can't watch another murder, suicide, rape, child abduction. And because I'm afraid it's going to push me over the edge, and I will kill myself. And then I learned about the term broadcasting. I'm like, well, what are they broadcasting? What are they casting? Because they're casting something. Because, you know, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is good or true, whatsoever is beautiful, whatsoever is good report. You know, think on these things. And I had enough hell in between my ears. I'm like, I don't want to take any more hell. I want to get the hell out of my ears. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really bad neighborhood, no matter what it looks like out here. But I found in my life that there's never enough anything outside of me to make me happy. There's never enough money. There's never enough men. There's never enough cars. There's never enough clothes. There's never enough alcohol. There's never enough anything except for Jesus. I can have all that I want. And the more I want, the more I get, and the happier I am. And all of a sudden, I'm getting freedom, you know? And I'm like, wow. Everywhere I go, to all these little events I get invited to, that people tell me about, people start prophesying, well, God's healing you. Well, yay, but I don't want more healing. I want freedom. I want to get done with this stuff. Well, God's healing you. Well, I know that, you know? And everywhere I go, it's the same prophecy. And I'm like, well, I know that. But after about a year of this woman saying prayers over me at this healing room, and I would just repeat the prayers, and I would have really no clue what I was saying. In fact, when I first got in the church, I couldn't hold a conversation because my mind would blank out. I'd be like, what? Were we talking about something? Seriously, it was bad. It was bad. It was hell. And so anyway, As I am doing these prayers, I'm noticing more and more freedom, and I'm really not realizing where they're coming from. And I'm going to AA meetings too, because AA is a 12-step deliverance program. I don't care whose power they pick. My power is Jesus. And people are looking at me in AA meetings saying, I don't know what you have, but if you can have that, I want it. And I'm like, it's Jesus! You know? You want to go with me to the prayer room? Because that's where I've been going. And whoa! This is awesome! So I go to the prayer room. Instead of the two or three people they find in the lobby, they all of a sudden have 16. Because people out there are dying, and they're hungry for God. They're hungry for love. They're hungry for restoration. They don't want to be broken and angry. They don't all stick around, but, you know, they want a taste. You know, they're like, I don't know what you have. And I'm like, it's Jesus. And most people, when you say Jesus, they think they know religion. They certainly don't want religion, because they don't want judgment. They don't want criticism. They don't want what they've seen, right? And that's painful, because there is a huge difference, right? So as I'm driving home one day, after about a year of inner healing, I didn't know it, I was getting delivered to
a demon.
Or two, or 20, or hundreds, maybe thousands. But I didn't know I was getting deliverance because the exorcist did a real job on America and on the American church. And for the most part, they're scared of it and don't want it. Well, my experience, I didn't do anything. Bipolar, depression, suicide, addiction left. And I'm going, I'm feeling pretty good. Whoa. There is no high like the Most High, right?
Yes.
I want more of this. And I found that in worship, I got more of that. So here I am thinking, wow, if a little bit of worship makes me feel good, a lot would make me feel better. So even when I'm depressed and walking this out, I am knowing that this music, that I couldn't even tolerate music before I got into church, all of a sudden I'm loving it. And I'm actually singing songs, and God's amazing. He had me come into agreement with heaven, and I had no idea. You know, as the deer pants for the water, my soul pants for you. My soul cries. I can understand that. Yeah, my soul cries. And I'm praying that, not knowing it's scripture. You know, I'm like, God, you are so awesome, you know. And as I'm praying more of this, I'm getting more healing. So worship has been a powerful way out. Somebody asked me, actually, one time how I got free. I was talking to some school kids, and I'm like, Jesus music, Jesus books, Jesus TV, Jesus people, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everything else had to go. Everything. And now I'm so grateful I really don't want anything else. Why, when you've had the best that heaven has to offer? Because the Holy Spirit is our first fruits. And if there's the first fruits of heaven, according to Thessalonians, I believe, then there's a first fruits of hell. And I know where the first fruits of hell took me. So how much farther can the first fruits of heaven take me? All right, it had me at death's door. Well, now I've got resurrection power. So, hey, I'll take some of that. But I also knew that I was in a fight for my life when I was going through that first year, and it wasn't easy. Like that first encounter I went on, all of a sudden I'm feeling good right here. But by the time we make it back to the church, hell's breaking in again. Then daily it was a decision whether I go for more of Jesus or sit there and just let hell take me down. It's a choice, and there is no such thing as comfortable Christianity in my life. I'm not sure, I don't even want to go there. I want more, yeah. I want more, because I'm consumed now by this passion, that fire that's burning, because I love it. I love it. I want more of that. I want more Jesus, because there's more freedom, because there's more truth. And any time hell tries to break in, I have learned to go into worship, and it doesn't always feel good. But I read a psalm the other day, Psalm 49, and that David said, by the harp, riddles are made known to him, the answers to riddles. So I didn't realize that while I'm in this deep worship, God is downloading revelation to me on how to get free and stay free and how to behave and how to close doors. And all of a sudden people are like, how do you know that? And I'm like, well, I'm not really sure how I know that, but it's working. Just like I didn't know this worship was transforming me until I find Psalm 49 day before yesterday. It says it clarifies the riddles of the mysteries of God. No wonder David played the harp for Saul and it soothed the demons. Well, shoot. I'm like, well, demons, if you want to play with me and manifest in my life, you're going to do it while I'm worshiping God. So if you don't like being in this place where King of Kings is going to be exalted, you might want to leave. And they tried to call my bluff. You know what? I kept worshiping. You know, and I kept chasing after God. And then, so after a year of inner healing and deliverance, it's like, it's really getting quiet in there. It's peaceful. Is this all there is, God? Please don't hit me with lightning. But is all you died for me to do is be a good girl on Sundays and sit on a pew in church? Because I'm sorry. I love you. I find this hard to believe this is all you died for me to have. Because hell was hell, but it was never boring. And I'm afraid if I get bored, I'll be back out there. Because I wasn't created for boredom. And I don't know, God. Please don't hit me with lightning. I'm just being honest with you. You know me. And somebody called me, said, hey, there's this dude named Randy Clark in Des Moines, Iowa in about a month. I'm like, who? He goes, Randy Clark. And by the way, have you ever heard of that movie, Finger of God? I'm like, what? I'd never heard of anybody but Joyce Myers. And I like her, but that was it. Figured she was the only one on the planet that knew God. Besides my pastor. And I wasn't sure. So I'm like, well, where's he going to be? And he goes, Des Moines, Iowa. And I Googled Randy Clark and saw him do his teaching on Words of Knowledge, and he talked a lot like this. And there wasn't any of that Pentecostal jumping up and down, shouting, screaming, you know, crazy, kicking the altar and stuff going on. And I'm like, well, it's kind of boring. Why couldn't he be in, like, South Beach or New York or Vegas? He's in Des Moines. So I was told a bunch of them were going up there to see him. And I'm like, well, count me in. I was the only one that went. And I get up there, and I'm late, and it's worship. And I'm in the far back of the church, in the corner of the church, about this size. And I'm feeling fire on my neck. Well, I have no grid for that. I'd forgotten. With all the other things wrong with me, I'd forgotten about a neck injury. So, but the week before, I had a dream that I was in front of a group of people with a microphone talking to them, and I told a friend of mine, I think it's the prison ministry, I think the guy at the prison's going to let me talk to the prison people. Didn't know. So I get up there and Randy Clark starts talking about healing, and I thought I was one in a million that God ever healed. Then I didn't know it was deliverance. So he goes, if anybody here felt fire or anything, got healed. See, I had a movement disorder from those psychotropic drugs. I mean, I was constantly just, people thought I had some other stuff going on, and I did. And he goes, if you were healed of anything, stand up and do this. Well, I was in the word of faith kind of thing, thinking, well, I want to be healed of that movement disorder, so I'm going to do that. So I did that, and Randy Clark goes, you, come up here. And I'm like, oh, shoot. So I'm like, how all those people, can you imagine a church like this? He calls me out. I'm like, crud. So I go up there. Is a million feet away. And I get up there and he goes, do something you couldn't do before. And I'm like, trying not to move. Well, actually, it's what I'm not doing. I had a movement disorder because I used to take drugs for bipolar, and now I'm not moving anymore. He's like, well, praise God. Then I go, thank you. And I go sit down, not aware my neck had been healed. And actually, after that, people in that church started chasing me down, asking me how I got healed from bipolar. And I'm like, unbelievable. Church people wanting to know. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, prayers, it was generational. We've been that, and they're crying, talking to me, and I have no grid, I have no idea. So anyway, I really didn't know what Randy Clark was going to be like. The next morning, he did a teaching on impartation that Moses imparted a gift to Aaron, and You know, Timothy, Paul said, stir up the gifts that are within you by laying on your hands. And but I'm like, come on, it's lunchtime. You know, let's go. And he goes, if you want more God, stand up and put your hands out. And I'm like, okay, yay. And he goes, come Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, if I get out the side door, I can be at that Japanese restaurant down the street in about 10 minutes, you know. And I can cut off all the church people. And he's saying, more, Lord. And I'm thinking, we don't have to be back here till 2. Maybe I have to get my hair done. He goes, come on, Holy Spirit. And I hear somebody whimper over here. Somebody start laughing over there. And all of a sudden, it just starts, you could just feel the power of God building, right? And boom, God landed on me. And I just doubled over, and I'm bawling, and I'm laughing, and I'm crying. And I'm like, this is what I've been looking for. Came on. Came on. So I wanted more of that. And so I went to a thing called Voice of the Apostles. And I'm like, God, I wish this stuff was in my area. No, I don't know anybody that has any of this stuff. They were introducing people that went on an international ministry trip with Global Awakening. And they said, we're going to give some testimonies from that trip. Here's one now. And some guy comes up there. He goes, hi, I'm Happy Lehman out of the Vineyard Church in Urbana, Illinois. I'm like, Happy? I won't forget that one. So that's how I found this church, is through a guy named Happy. You know? And I'm like, well, yay, God. And then Randy Clark was here. Then I went on a Brazil trip with Randy Clark, and for the first couple of days, not a lot happened through me. And I'm thinking, well, shoot, I could have stayed at the healing room in Decatur. And the next day, there were a crowd of, I don't know, 5,000 people. And one of the people that came up to me to get prayer couldn't hear. And I'd had a dream that the gifts of the Spirit were just popping before I even knew of Randy Clark or a ministry trip. I'm thinking in my dream, boy, even the apostles would be jealous of this. You know, this is amazing. That night happened in Brazil. You know, and I prayed for the woman. I was like, what happened? Did you have a car accident? You know, you're 30-some-odd years old. How did this happen? She goes, I just woke up deaf one morning, and I've got a translator, right? And I'm like, people don't wake up deaf, you know? In the name of Jesus, I bind that deaf, dumb, and she just starts screaming. And I'm like, what happened? She goes, she can hear. I'm like, poof, you know, blew up inside. And I found that God used me to, you know? So I'm like, this is game. This is fun. This is God. This is what He died for us to have. This is the more. This is the more. I want to take hell down too. So I learned Randy Clark wrote a book, and this is not to idolize Randy Clark. It's the blood of Jesus. Yes. But these are just the names I've heard of. One led to another to another. In those movies, Finger of God, Furious Love, Father of Lights, I'm sitting there watching them and writing down every silly name in there. And I'm YouTubing them all. Sitting there 12 hours on Saturday, just YouTubing. I saw some guy with dreadlocks and ten-toed shoes in Pennsylvania, and I'm like, what's his story, you know? Huh, he thinks I like him. No, I didn't like him. So it was Todd White. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And then some guy came out in the afternoon session, 60-year-old man, skipping, going, shooting people in spirit, giggling. His name was Roland Baker. And I'm like, should I be offended that I flew halfway across the United States, got a hotel room, and buying all these silly meals to watch a grown man skip and giggle? Or should I maybe humble myself? And maybe I'll learn something here? So, anyway, I learned there was more. And then when I came home and watched that movie, Finger of God or something, one of them, all those people were in there. That girl Heidi, that never stood up once. She was in that movie. All these people knew each other, and you know what? They all talked to each other. They're not like all in their own little church ponds. They all go as a great big river of God through the planet, and they like each other. This is new to me. you know? I'm like, yeah, God. So I know one thing, that hell is not my friend. It's not my family's friend. It's nobody's friend. And that it wants the church defeated. Because if the church is defeated, then the people in the world don't want anything to do with what the church has. So if my people perish for lack of knowledge, God, what? And I was told what God has healed, delivered you from, he has called you to. Well, what does that look like? Well, it looked like God didn't show me anything about inner healing and deliverance until I was able to be nice to the person in front of me. You know, because he didn't want me wounding the people that want help. So he taught me what love looks like. And then he taught me what servanthood looks like. And he taught me what honor looked like. And all I know is when I got this book that I was praying, I read in the foreword that the Bible talks about Goliath. And they were all killed by, the giants were all killed by men who followed David. And if you want to kill giants, follow a giant killer. Okay. Who are the giant killers in my life, God? Who are they? And they're on YouTube. There are giant killing mentors on YouTube. If they're not in my own backyard. But I found that accountability in the kingdom is really important. I found these guys, David and his men, hung out together. They had like a circle of people they could trust. And they were all together. And they were accountable to one another. So I've learned that chasing God with everything within me, whether it be on YouTube or at the library, because I've been at the library YouTubing people, because there are resources out there, and if you want more, it's there. You know, so I learned that hell, you ever see those animal kingdom things? I wish I hadn't, you know, where maybe one little baby something gets taken away from the pack, and there's a lion or something up there that goes after this baby, and it'll fight for a while, and then here comes another one, another predator. And that's how demons are. They've got one separated. They want you separated from your pack. They want you to have accountability, people, not just go to church on Sunday. This is more than that. You know, and then here comes another one. And pretty soon you see that little baby quit fighting. And you see the look in its eye like, I can't get out of this. I'm just going to lie down and die. It's over. I have no more strength. And no matter what, that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us separate. He wants us offended. He wants us to be offended from each other. But love believes all things. Then you know what? If I tell my friend that I told you I'd meet you at 9 o'clock on Tuesday, she goes, no, you said 10. Okay, that doesn't matter. I'm sorry, there was a misunderstanding, because there is a spirit called Leviathan and it twists communications. So it wants, its goal is for me to be offended and for you to be offended. And so when she goes, I said, I'm sorry. You said the other day I quit going to your church because of this, that, and this, and that. He goes, I never said that. And I said, you know what? I believe you. I'm sorry. I misheard you. You know, there is no offense here. I can't afford it in my life. It's too dangerous. It's the bait of Satan. He wants to take me down. He's wanting to take me down. I need to make sure all these doors are closed in my life. So anyway, I have been learning the Beatitudes, too, because meekness was not a word in my vocabulary. Pride and arrogance was the word, and it's a generational word in our family. And I've learned that there are a lot of great teachers out there, but at the beginning of this last year, I had a dream. I had a couple. One of them, I was in my bedroom. However, it's not the bedroom in my house. I believe it's the place of intimacy with Jesus that I share and worship and their prayer. And at the floor, the carpet was all buckled. I've seen water damage. the wall
had a crack in it. There was an armoire against the wall, and the crack was pushing up against the armoire, and the legs were breaking. And I get a prophetic word. You've been given a lot of freedom. God set you free from a lot of stuff, but there's more. There's more. And I've learned that when I quit growing, what I do have can turn into religion. And I don't want to quit growing because that's dangerous for me. I don't want to go back where it came from. I only get more. So anyway, I got that prophetic word, and I'm like, oh, cool, God wants to give me some more. And then I have a dream that there are two men in a rental house I own. And they call me up, and they say, we are very unhappy here. And I'm like, but you were in that house before I bought it, before it became mine. And there's a little girl laying on the ground in my dream. And they're saying, we don't like the neighborhood. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you were here before I took over, so if you're not happy, leave. And they said, are you taking an attitude with us? And that was the dream. So in my house were some things in my bloodline. I was asked by a friend of mine, what did that little girl on the floor look like? And I was thinking about it. I said, she looks like me. So there was some people in my house. There was witchcraft and shame in my bloodline. And this witchcraft stuff kept this negative radio static going all the time. And I didn't want that. I'd be spending like a couple hours worshiping Jesus and soaking and loving and blah, blah, blah. Then I'd get up and I'd start, you know, doing my hair. And I'm thinking, you know, that really ticked me off. The dry cleaner the other day. And I'm like, how can I come out of that? And 5 minutes later, this static's in my head. I try to take down every thought. I try and get rid of that. I spend 2 hours in throne room with God. My sister calls me. I want her to want what I have. We all need it, right? And she calls me and she says, Lynn, you know, I wish you wouldn't have dropped da da da. And I said, you know what I think. Blah, 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 blah. And I collapsed to the floor bawling, saying, why did I just do that? I just left the presence of God. So I went on a wake fast. I am not going to eat again until this anger's gone. So a week later, I'm off the fast. You're still not safe. There's stuff going on in my bloodline I wasn't aware of. And I was taught, after that dream with the floor and the walls, I went to a place in Abilene where they taught me about a ministry called Restoring the Foundations. And I'm not thinking of the dream. And it's an inner healing and deliverance ministry. And I'd signed up for Christian Healing Certification Program 3 different times. Never ended up going pursuing it. And I'm like, I'm not a quitter at things I start. And somebody said to me, did it ever occur to you that God wants to teach you this kind of stuff a different way? I'm like, well, no. And I've been like, God, I want to help other people get set free. That's my heart. I know what torment and hell feels like. I know what it feels like to be a defeated Christian. I graduated from a Bible college with bulimia and bipolar. So anyway, you know, it's painful. There's nothing more painful than being a defeated Christian, you know? So I learned about this ministry called Restoring the Foundations. And I'm like, that's a big book. So I didn't read it. So instead, I got their 15 videos that were recorded in 1994, you know, during mullets and perms. I'm humored. I'm like, can you believe it? Thank you, God. I don't know. We'll look back 10 years from now and go, what? So anyway, I was distracted by all that. But anyway, I got about 15% out of what I learned from the DVDs compared to when I ended up going to Toronto to the School of Leaders up there for 3 weeks. And John Arnott from the Toronto Outpouring said,
I don't allow anybody in ministry of, in any or leadership in any of my churches around the world unless they've gone through restoring the foundations first. And I'm like, well, he's got fruit that lasts. He's been doing this a while. He's not like, you know, a fly-by-night here. Maybe he knows something. I just heard it nabbling. I had a dream. I have this again. So I'm actually rooming with a woman for 3 weeks who's a trainer in restoring foundations. And I'm like, you know, I'd love to bring this to Ellen Decatur, but I don't think anybody would come. She goes, Lynn, with your giftings, maybe you could do deliverance for people that are in satanic ritual abuse and Illuminati. And I'm like, what? She goes, I said, do you do that? Well, yes. And I'm like, well, how do you find those people? She's a 75-year-old retired school teacher, right? She goes, they find me. I'm like, well, but they do. I said, how do you protect yourself? She goes, well, I have intercessors, and the angels hold them down. Okay. Can I get your intercessors' names? And now I've got an angel named Stryker. So, anyway, I brought the DVDs home. Bottom online, RTF, Restoring the Foundations International, RTFI.org. There's a sheet back there with some resources on it. And I started showing these 15 DVDs to four of my friends the next week. We thought we'd watch all 15, one a week, because I was bored. And the next week I thought, oh, I want to invite Rhonda. So I invited Rhonda, and pretty soon there was a knock at my door, and Rhonda goes, yeah, Lynn, they're down at the shopping center caravanning here because they don't all know where you live. And I'm like, who's all? And there were 16 people that showed up at my house the second week. I'd been in an airport in Decatur flying out, and I went to I went to the ladies' room, and when I'm in the ladies' room getting all beautiful for a flight, you know, this scripture starts going through my head, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I'm going, well, that's kind of catchy. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Then I go through TSA, and some friend of mine, you know, one of my spiritual papas, called me up and he goes, Lynn, I got a scripture for you. I said, what's that? He goes, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm like, well, that's crazy. So what that was God's breathing upon what happened at my house. I brought those videos in. 16 people showed up the second week. Before long, people are saying, well, can you have one in the morning? I'm like, inner healing? Well, yeah, I've got kids. I can't be there at night. Can you start another one at night, too? Because my friend, so we had 40 people sign up. And last 2 weeks ago, I went down to Southern Illinois and talked about it. I told a friend of mine in Springfield, they're bringing it into that church. They're taking it down south. The people that founded this are going to be in Chicago next weekend. I've been asked to share a little bit of my testimony. They've heard of me. I'm like, how'd you hear me? Well, it's the 8 trillion books of theirs I've ordered for the people. It's not because of any great works. It's because of my credit card. They're still accepting it, and they think that's a miracle. So anyway, we had an activation seminar, 30-plus people from here, Springfield, Southern Illinois, came to Decatur, the town that's known for being cursed. Break that word curse off in Jesus' name. And we're learning the diagnostics of the kingdom. Because the truth is, we don't know what's not normal until we know what's kingdom normal. You know? So all these things that I thought was normal in my life, they aren't normal. It is not acceptable to have anything but kingdom normal in the church.
Amen.
And that, I don't even know where to begin. So people are getting blown away. People are getting major healing. People are getting major deliverance. And it's a beautiful time, and people are having a blast. So this, to me, I think is a prerequisite for any college course training. This is for whosoever's, because I'm a whosoever. Jesus said, whosoever will follow me. And I'm like, I'm following. This is not about just RTF. This is about seeking first the kingdom of God, because it's huge. I heard a pastor in Chicago, I went to some random church up there, and I was the oldest one by about 50 years in this church, which just made my day. And this guy goes, I took my son to the Field Museum. Now, I don't know if you know about the Field Museum, but it is gigantuan. You know, it's levels high, levels low, goes different wings, sub-levels, you know, forever. And his 10-year-old son played in the gift shop and rode the train in the lobby for 45 minutes. And then came up, yanked on his coat and said, Dad, can we come back? I've had so much fun. And he goes, that's kind of how people sometimes view Christianity. They get baptized, they get saved, they get baptized, they get the Holy Spirit, and they're like, woo! Now what? There's more, right? There's a lot more. And all the promises are for all of us. It's a whosoever thing. And one more thing. I was in Toronto, and I heard some people prophesying that have prophesied for John Arnott for like 40 years. And they're Ivan and Isabel Allen. And I've had to listen to 30 people get prophetic words from these. I mean, she was born prophetic. She says anytime she meets anybody, she knows their past, present, future. Boom. It's just like everything. She was the gifted one, and she was, you know, and God humbled her, and now she's, you can feel the integrity when she enters the room. And she starts prophesying. She prophesies much like an auctioneer, because she doesn't want her mind involved. And she's like, and you've got a recorder, and you're still going, you know, typing it out with her Costa Rica accent. You know, it's really interesting. But what I found unbelievable, they kept saying Jeremiah 29:11, right? And you know the plans that I have for you. The plans, I could put you in the scripture. Yeah, but we've all heard it. It's just kind of like, you know, for God so loved the world. You know, we've heard it. No. She was prophesying, she and her husband, over everybody there. And I know some of these people. I've been living with them for 3 weeks, but she's hearing God and how God sees them. And I'm still getting healed up. Right, and she's prophesying amazing, mind-blowing stuff over absolutely everybody there. I'm thinking, wow, if I didn't know the integrity and character of this, I would just not believe how amazing all the words are over everybody. But that is truly God's heart for every single one of his children. And that if our life is not just crazy, awesome, revelatory, mind-blowing God, then there's more.
Yeah.
You know, I need to step it up. I want more. I want those encounters in heavenly places. I want to dance with angels and know it. I want to be able to drop a word to the person in front of me, because it's not just a cool gift. It's not a cool gift. People are dying inside and outside of the church. Yeah. I was coming home from Chicago, and a friend of mine picked me up, and I fell asleep in the car. We're pulling off into Coal City. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I want a nice tea. And I'm like, okay. You know, I could use a little tea. And we go in there, and it's 5:00 on a Saturday evening. And I think evangelism is one of my stronger giftings, and prophetic is maybe not the strongest. And there's a man sitting out in front, I assume, covered in coal dust, at a happy picnic table at McDonald's, with a 24 case of beer. And I can see suicide and depression on him. And I'm saying, God, somebody needs to come give him a word. Where's Jared? Where's Nora? Where's Larry? Somebody here needs to give him a word. He's going to die. And until that, I was thinking, wow, even with where I came from, as far as suicide and stuff, I'm thinking that these gifts are just really cool. No, they're not. People are dying. They're really dying. These are emergency. Yeah, it is cool, but they're dying still. So a word in season to somebody that's broken can change everything, you know? And even if I never see them again. So I start repenting. And I'm like, God, it says desire most earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you can prophesy. I repent, God. I repent. I want to prophesy. I want to prophesy. Next thing I know, there's an internship letter open to Patricia Keene. It's dream prophetic, right? And I end up getting an internship, spending 7 weeks with her last year. And I'm like, yeah, I thought I'd learn to prophesy. Well, yeah, but you learn it by doing it, you know? There you go. So, but now I will. Now I do. Now I'm not afraid to. Now, you know, I'm willing, especially where the most broken are, like there are homeless shelters, there's Meals on Wheels, you got captive audiences, kids, you know? Hi, you know? That they're powerful and you can be the hands and feet of Jesus and drop a word bomb, you know, and it just breaks the hell off of them, you know. So I'm really grateful that this is a whosoever kingdom, and for people who want more, there is more. And there's hope, because people don't have to live in hell, and that's including Christians. But I do encourage you, this is not the only ministry in the world, inner healing. But it is a really good whosoever ministry. And it's not about, you know, getting a ministry. I've got a ministry now. No, I've got a book. So anyway, and my life is a ministry. We are all ministers, right? So through the tools of this book, these are the same prayers that woman said over me at the healing room. And I found out she brought it into my town in 96. About the time they videotaped those DVDs, you know? And I'm like, these are the prayers that brought me freedom. And there's more freedom for every one of us. There's always more. So, anyway, I've got, there's a couple of ways that I learned that demons attach. This is a good list, but there's more. You know, demons will pick any way they can if I give them an open door, but I didn't realize how many open doors I did have, because I wasn't brought up knowing these things, and I sure do appreciate it. And I did not know also that about some of these curses, curse indicators. I'm sorry, you know, the word curse offends a lot of people. But it's in the Bible, and, you know, Time Magazine used it for the Kennedys. You know, the Kennedy curse? My sister said, well, I don't believe in curses. And I said, neither do the Kennedys. You know. I don't believe in gravity either, but, you know, it is. So, actually, I was up in Toronto. God opened the door. I got a free ticket to Toronto. Woohoo! There was a deliverance thing going on. And I'm like, well, that looks like fun. So I go up there, and the lead speaker doesn't show up. There was a family emergency of some kind. So John Arnott put in his head woman since the outpouring in 94. And she's thrown off guard because she wasn't expecting this. She goes, we're just going to ask people to think of something cyclical in their lives. And I'm like, well, I've never thought of that, because all I've really ever had was cyclical hell. Cyclical hell. I'm going to think about that. So I'm sitting there, And I'm like, wow, I've got a business now. The first guy I hired to help me with the books, I'm paying him money. And one day I said, wow, we need to get this meeting started. You know how, you know, lawyers and accountants are. They bill by the millisecond. And I think I'm funny. He turns on me and he cusses me and he's like, and I'm just like, whoa. How did this normal, happy type person all of a sudden just verbally swear at me and I'm paying him? Well, we're going to get rid of this one. You know, I didn't say anything. I brought him cookies and stuff. I know I'd overcome evil with good most of the time, some of the time. Okay. Every once in a while. And then I get a new guy. And he seems to be a well-adjusted human being. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, he's just raking me over the coals too. And I'm like, well, that's cyclical. And so, see, this woman goes, grab somebody that you don't know, which in Toronto was real easy, and sit down and do some prayer over each other. So I go grab some woman, and she goes, I see abuse and bullying over your head. This was 6 months, last August. And I'm like, really? Then I go home. I'm like, is that a generational curse? I found out that's where physical abuse, violence, you know, verbal abuse, rape, bullying, etc. comes from. I'm like, I didn't smell that rat. I never knew it was there. So I broke that baby off. And I go stay with my host home, and sitting on her kitchen counter is a whole diagnostic thing for curses, generational curses, written by a woman that's leading the conference now. And I'm like, well, isn't this interesting? So I know that if I'm seeking, God opens doors, and I want more, and I know that he'll do it for me. 5 years ago this month, I was in a mental institution. He will do it for you, right? I've been blessed. I've been traveling all over the world with some amazing people, and doors keep opening, and God is good, and the enemy is a liar. You know, so if there's some rat in the pantry, I want to find out where it is today. And we go to the doctor once a year for checkups. I take my car in once a year. My friends that are accountants, lawyers, doctors, nurses, they go for realtors, they go for continuing education once a year. So why, when Bill Johnson and his wife and John Arnott go once a year for some inner healing and deliverance cleanup, why wouldn't we all? Maybe they know something I don't know. And I'm not looking for a demon under every rock. Jesus didn't have to. Satan disappeared in the wilderness. He didn't go looking for them. But I know they're not my friends, and they want to take me down, and they're waiting for me to open the door. So anyway, there is more. I want to encourage everybody just to run like fire. Because I used to be running because there was pain, then I was running towards help, towards Jesus, and now I'm running because I'm compelled by love. This is awesome. Yeah. This is off the chain, and I do want more. So anyway, I want to thank you for letting me have this opportunity. I've been told I carry an impartation of hope. So I want to release that. If you would like that for you and your family. So Lord, we thank you for come Holy Spirit. Yes, God, we thank you for hope that you have stored up for every one of your children. God, to be released in this place. And I thank you, God, attached to hope is joy. Joy unspeakable. So God, I thank you that you are our hope. And that your love never fails. And if it appears to be God, I thank you for wise counsel. We seek you first. We seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given unto us, God. I thank you for you're the Savior. I thank you, God, that we don't have to be intimidated by spiritual giants around us because you are the spiritual giant. We've all got an app for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Bless these people in every area of their lives, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.